This morning is going to be an introductory message to the series that we're going to begin. What influence does the life of Jesus Christ and the account of His life have on us? What influence does it have? Paul tells us to be in Christ, to put on Christ, to have the mind of Christ. Well, that has some down-to-earth implications and some down-to-earth direction. The Bible says to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. All of our ways, that's everything we think and say and do, isn't it? And He shall direct our paths. Well, that's what we desire, isn't it? For Him to direct our paths. We worry so much about tomorrow and next week and next year and 3 years from now. And praise God, He is in control and He has left us answers in the account of His life that we need to know, to understand, and to discern in a way that it's beneficial for us to live our lives like Him. The examples are there. We jump in and out of looking at Christ. There was a phase, you remember, everybody was wearing leather bracelets that said WWJD. Remember that? What would Jesus do in whatever this situation is? That's actually a valid question. What would Jesus do in this situation? Well, to know that, we need to look at what did Jesus do? Now, what would He do, but what's He already done? We already know His life was perfect. He never sinned one time. We already know that He came to do His Father's will. That's a great example, isn't it? That's what we should be interested in. And the desire of our heart should take over all these other desires and be at the top of our priority list. All right. The life of Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to look at, like I said, this is kind of an introductory message to this series that I want to bring to us. Matthew, in chapter 6 and 7, we know Matthew 5 through 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. That's Jesus Himself. All these letters are in red. That's Jesus Himself giving instruction to His people. That's us. Now, how important this should be to us to understand it. I pray that the Lord would give us wisdom and discernment in His Word. We talked about uttering. Brother Chuck mentioned it this morning, being able to utter something. There are things that we need and that our spirit cries out for that we don't know how to ask for it. We don't have the words, the English language doesn't express fully our need and our desires for Him. But what happens? The Holy Spirit of God utters, because there's no language barriers with God. And the Holy Spirit dwells within you and I, and He knows what we need, doesn't He? Completely and totally. He also knows what we don't need, doesn't He? Yes, completely and totally. All right. I'm going to read passage from the 6th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 19. And this does have to do with our faith in God overtaking our attitude to have an effect on our tendency to worry. That's a long sentence, I realize that. All right. Verse 19, chapter 6. The book of Matthew. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. This earth is under a curse, isn't it? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Heaven's not cursed. And where thieves do not break through, nor steal. You know, Jesus always had a way of getting to the root of an issue. The root of a problem. And that's important for us, too. To be able to get to the root of a problem. The Lord has allowed me to learn how to play the guitar. Well, I have learned, in order to play a melody in a particular chord or key, you have to begin at the root note. That's where you have to begin, to find the notes that are within that chord, which is within that key, whatever key you want to play in. The root note. It's very important. Otherwise, without the root note, you won't understand where to go on the fretboard. And so I see this as very applicable to whatever issue it is that we're facing. First off, we need to find the root of whatever it is that's affecting our answer to this problem. Does that make sense? The root of the problem, whatever the problem is, we need to find the root. And Jesus was the greatest at that very thing. He could go straight to the root of the problem. This next verse says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He taught in this very sermon, he taught how, well, you've heard that murder. You're not to murder. Well, I tell you that if you continue to have hatred against your brother, and I know I'm paraphrasing this, you've committed it already in your heart. So where is the root of the problem where murder, any sin, starts from? Where is the root? And it is a fallen nature and a hard heart that's enmity against God. That's the root of the problem. And he goes straight to the root here, which is the heart. And he says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What is it that we love? What is it that we truly, in the deepest part of our being, the heart, as the Bible and as God puts it, the heart, the deepest part of your person, your mind, what is our desire? Let me tell you, if the Lord has quickened you, your desire is to please Him, isn't it? It is. It's to do what's right in His eyes, by His instruction. And that's what this sermon's all about. It's instructions for us, and we need it. We desperately need it. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Single. In other words, you have a vision for your life, right? Well, if your vision for your life, because you're saved, is to be like Christ, is to live like Him, is to think like Him, is to have the mind of Christ. That's the beginning of doing and living like Him, is to have the mind of Christ and to think like Him. His thoughts were of pleasing His Father, remember? So should ours be. So rather than I have a vision for my life to please God, but I also have a vision of my life to catch the biggest fish ever caught, or whatever my other visions are. Well, wherever my heart is, there will be my treasure. Do I want treasure on this earth that's going to burn up one day? And I know that for a fact. Because the Word of God tells me that this earth is going to burn. Besides the fact that before then, it's going to rust, it's going to rot, thieves are going to steal it from me. We need to follow our heart, don't we? That new heart that God has given us to love Him, to care about what He thinks, and look at and understand what did He do in His life. He faced the same problems you do. Absolutely. Nothing that you've been tempted by or felt that He didn't feel. There's nothing. All right. No man can serve two masters, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's His anyway. Why would you serve and worship the created thing rather than He that created the thing and owns it? He owns all things, doesn't He? And all people. It's like having that one vision for your life rather than multiple visions. There's only one Lord, there's only one God, only one Savior. That is Jesus Christ. Therefore I say unto you, verse 25, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? What He's doing is showing that He's in control. He is God, and God owns all these things. He protects all these beings. He provides for all these beings, including you and me. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto His stature? God designed you. He did. He designed you. He knew what you were going to look like. He knew how you were going to be and how tall. How much hair you were going to have. He knew it all. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Hallelujah. Not one of those flowers dries up in the sunlight that the Lord don't know about. He is that magnificent. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, or burnt up by the sun, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Boom, He went to the heart again. He went to the root of the problem again, didn't He? O ye of little faith. How did you stop trusting me and start trusting the things that I've created? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Stop worrying. That's what He's teaching here. Why you worry? You know that I'm in control. You know that I've always provided for you. I always shall. Take no thought. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, Jesus goes to the heart of the problem. He sets the priority straight. Seek ye your vision. That's what you're seeking in life, right? Seek ye when? After all this stuff is settled down and you're not worried anymore, then you seek the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, I made it through. No, first. Putting Him first in our life. It is absolutely imperative. It's so important that we do that. Put Him first. Let me tell you, and I don't mean this mathematically or in money terms, but it pays off every time. Put God first. It always pays off. Always. The very first thing in the morning, look to Him. Your day will be a lot better when you put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said it was the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believes, the Jew first, also to the Greek. And he said, because, for, therein, in the gospel, the account, the story of Jesus Christ, living a perfect life and coming and giving that life up on the cross for you and I, there is the righteousness of God revealed. And we see it, that it's His righteousness that we stand on, not any of ours. And all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that we concern ourselves with and work so hard for, the Lord's going to provide them if it's something we need. Oh, but we need to obey Him and seek Him first. Priority number one, God and seeking Him. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I thought about that verse. That verse kind of bothered me before. Don't worry about tomorrow. And I don't think that it's that we're not to plan, because we are. We have a vision to seek God in our lives. We learn what He did in His life so that we know what to do tomorrow, today and tomorrow and the next day. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That didn't make sense to me. But after thinking about it and praying about it, I think He's saying, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, we've got enough to deal with today.
That's right.
The evil that we have to face in this battle of following Christ today is plenty. Don't pile tomorrow on there too. You can walk tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. You can seek God first when you get up tomorrow. So don't stress over what's going to happen tomorrow. You've got enough to deal with today. And I believe that's what He's saying. Oh, ye of little faith, trust in Me for tomorrow. Because I hold tomorrow in My hand, you see. What a Savior. What a God. May God bless the reading of His Word. Like I said, this is the beginning of a series. And we're going to look at things that Jesus taught. And we're going to be all through the Gospels, of course. What did Jesus teach about the priorities in our life? We just barely touched on that. What did Jesus teach about our relationship with God and with Him? What did He teach about our relationship with others? What did He teach about getting to the source of the problems we face every day? So anyway, I'm going to have a list of things that we're going to look into, and this may take a while, but praise God, I believe that it'll be very beneficial to learn more of our Savior.